All right, so a couple of, where are we here? We're on the third day of Hanukkah, the 27th of December, 2016, Chav Zayin Kislev, and we are in the beginning, Perek Tet Zayin. So we learned yesterday Chumash and Rashi for most of the 16th Perek of B'Shalach. I'm going to point out a few things amongst the Rishonim here. So the first thing that is that caught my eye is this pasuk, is this idea that happens in pasuk Dalet. By Yomar Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim, I'm going to pass down to you bread from the heavens, v'yatza ha'am v'laktu devar yom v'yomo, and the people will then go out and they'll collect it every day, l'man anasenu hayiluch basor asiim lo, in order to test you to see whether you will be following my Torah or not. So what is that referring to? What is this test? How is the man coming down? What is the nature of this test that's going to be imposed on the Jews? So Rashi says, yeah, I'll show you Ragil look at Yom Yom. I'm sorry, am I in the right? The wrong Rashi. Rashi Lamana Nasenu Ayel Pasereso in Yishmeru Mitzvos Hatulius Bel. I'm going to watch to see whether the Jews keep the mitzvos that have to do with the month. What are the mitzvos that have to do with the month? So Rashi says that they're not going to collect too much, and they're not going to go out on Shabbos in order to collect it. Some other mitzvos associated with month also. There's right, Moshe is commanded to keep it for a while, and there's an issue about. What bracha do you make on man? Anybody know? The Gemara talks about this. The Gemara suggests you make the bracha hamotzi. Hamotzi what? What? And come from the ground. Right, so the Gemara suggests that that one of the opinions of the Gemara is you make a bracha hamotzi lecha min hashamayim, that they brought bread down from the heavens. Okay. Anyway, that might be for halacha day. So we continue on here. That's the opinion of Rashi. So the Ramban picks up on this and says, well, wait a second, that's only quotes Rashi and says, V'ineinu nachon. Says, I don't think that that's correct. Because that's not really what the words mean. The words are, Laman anasenu hayil, I'm going to test you by way of the month, that the month itself is going to be a nisayon, not the mitzvos that are associated with the month. So what does the Ramban say is going to be the test? Aval hukam Moshe Amar, hamachilcha min amidbar, shalei adun avasech, l'man anoscha, l'man nisoscha, leitivcha v'yacharecha, ki nisayon hu lahem, shalo aya biyadam mazon. That the big test to them was, that are you going to go out into the desert, not knowing where your food is going to come from, not knowing where your bread is going to come from, not knowing, not having any signs on the road saying next rest stop in 30 miles or something. Right, we don't have that. So rather, the test is you're going out trusting Hashem that you don't have food. The only way that you're going to get any food is with this man coming down. So you have to be relying on a daily basis that the man is going to fall. That you're listening to me and going out into a place where you're not going to have bread other than this month. And he said that's going to be the test forever. If you're able to, and that's in order to test, it continues on a little bit. As the pasuk says in Devarim, that you're not going to have bread, you're only going to have this, and that's the test. What is the test? Sheyaminu bo li'olam, that you'll believe in Hashem forever. Meaning, if you believe in Hashem, that on Wednesday when they were in the midbar, that month was going to fall again on Thursday, so too you'll believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu that, because we had mun while we were in the desert, we're also going to have mun going forth as well. So that is the Ramban. The Ramban picks up on something else, says, let's hold off on that second part of that Ramban and just cover some of the other opinions as to what this test is going to be. So what is the test going to be? So it says in the Sforno, Laman anasenu hayelch basorasi, says the Sforno, kesheyia misparnis shelo bitzar, that you're going to get this parnasa without any pain. That the Torah is only given to those who have mun. What is that? What is the Sforno saying here? You're going to get a parnasa without having to expend any effort. So what? What comes from that? If you're getting money and you don't have to put any effort into it, so what should you do with all your time?
Learn.
Learn. So that's what the Sfarno says is going on here, right? The Sfarno is saying, are you going to be like those who come to First Seder? And they have time, so let's go and learn. Or not, so that's the test of the month. Are you going to use your time productively because when you don't need when you don't need to go and work very hard in order to get your month? That is the that's what the Sfarno is suggesting. Some other ideas to talk about along those lines as well. Let's save that for another time. So it says the Rashbam also, Rashbam says similar to what the Ramban says, because every day you're wondering where is the food going to come from and where do they luck about where the food is going to come from. They luck up to Shemaim. Is the food going to come down again? So therefore it's going to lead to greater emuna. Yeah. And how is this then going to lead them in order to get the Torah? So suggests the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar here says a nice thing. He quotes Rashi, and he says, this whole thing, though, is really talking about the Midah of Bitachon. That if they don't add on, that shows that they have full bitachon. Somebody who has bread, but yet still says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? That means he is of small faith. And similarly, if he doesn't go out on Shabbos in order to collect, that he understands that he's still going to have more mun remaining for him to eat. And therefore, they'll follow in my Torah. What is this idea? So says, I think what the Kli Yakar is driving at is that I'm testing you to see whether you're going to get the Torah. What is the test? Well, the Torah makes certain demands of people. The Torah says it requires some amounts of mesiras nefesh from people, that you can't go to work on this day, and you have to work in a specific way, and we're going to control ways that you can earn your living, and we're going to control what you eat, and we're going to control a lot of different things. And if one doesn't have emuna that things are going to work out okay, so then you're not going to be able to work it. So this is building the emuna necessary in order to get the Torah, that even though I'm going to keep the mitzvos, and even though it sounds like, according, you know, it seems like it shouldn't work, we're still going to make it work. And that's how the collection of the mun connects with the receiving of the Torah. Okay, so a couple of different possibilities here, right? You have the Ramban's idea of, you have Rashi's idea about, are you going to keep those mitzvos? You have Ramban's idea of, are you going to have the emuna necessary to continue? You have the Sforno saying that, well, the test is, are you going to spend your time learning Torah that you have available? You have Rashbam, similar to the Ramban, saying, are you going to have the emuna to continue? And you have the Kli Yakar that seems to combine it all and say, because you have the emuna necessary to do mitzvos, therefore you're going to be able to get the Torah. Which then kind of ties Rashi in as well. You're going to have the emuna to not violate the mitzvos, because you have trust that I'm going to feed you, I'm going to make sure you have your things taken care of, even though it seems like you shouldn't be, it seems like it's not going to make sense that you're going to be able to have that.
Did you find anything about whether they didn't check any of the cattle they had about?
I didn't see anything about not checking the cattle. I didn't get home until 1:30 last night. You know, it was a wedding last night. Didn't have time to really work through all of those questions that we had yesterday. But I did find a different question that we raised yesterday. And that is when Hashem tells Moshe, he tells Moshe that I'm going to give you the mun. What does Moshe tell the people? I'm going to give you slav and I'm going to give you mun. So where did the slav come from? How did Moshe feel justified in being able to make that presentation? Why was he allowed to do that? So the end of that Ramban brings that question. It says, "Bnei lo hiskir kan divrei rachman," only mentions the mun. But then when Moshe talks to them a little bit later, he talks about you're going to have meat in the evening and you're going to have bread in the morning. So it sounds like everything was said to Moshe, otherwise he would never have said it. So how did Moshe... why does the Torah then leave out that part of the prophecy? The Ramban just simply says about kasuv yikser b'dvar. The Torah leaves out things that are doubled up. Now that then raises the questions about other things that are doubled up. The Torah leaves those things out and allows you to put the pieces together. So the Ramban is simply saying that must be that Hashem had told him that you're going to have slav in the evening, you're going to have the lechem in the morning. Okay, so that is.
And what's that word again?
Slav of the
birds.
The pheasants. Yeah, the birds, the fat birds. Peasants? Is that
Peasants.
Peasants
or something else.
Where where does Moshe take on himself to tell it? It seems like Hashem is telling Moshe that I heard the complaints of the children of Israel.
Yeah, oh, in the next pasuk. In the evening you'll know that I took you out. In the morning you're going to see the covenant of Hashem. In the night you're going to have the slav. In the morning you're going to have the mud.
So when did Moshe speak out of turn?
Because Hashem never told him anything about the slav.
He told him to send meat.
Hashem never said, I'm going to send you meat. Hashem just said, I'm going to prepare bread from the heavens, and the nation's going to go out and collect it, and so that I'll know if they're following my Torah.
Only 12.
Yeah, that's later on. But that's but that also Hashem, as Hashem speaking there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, he says it that way. He didn't say it in the beginning. So the Ramban is working within these first few psukim. Pasuk Hey, it says Pasuk Dalim and Hey is Hashem's instructions. Pasuk Vav is Moshe talking to the Jews and saying you're going to have this love. So yeah, Hashem comes back later on and gives further instructions or something there. But just in this. Assuming you're following an order here, and the Ramban always assumes that things are being followed in order, so what's going on? Why is the...
He jumped the gun.
Yeah, it seems like Moshe jumped the gun. Yes. So that's the Ramban's explanation. Now, what also is going on here is... That it was there. I mean, Hashem must have said it. The Torah just doesn't give all these details. And that's how he doesn't necessarily... He sidesteps the question.
It's interesting here. As you said, that would raise a question in other places. The docket here, Moshe actually brings it as a riot. Right? Moshe doesn't just say you're going to have meat. Right? Moshe here, even above, says, you're going to have meat and you're going to see. Why are you complaining about it?
So yeah.
Moshe clearly presents it as a part of the, you know, the real thing, part of the Emunah. Like, you're complaining about the wrong people. So it's not just, I know the Ramban says, every Pekash and the Bar in the first presentation, but it's not even a Stam ad. Like, oh yeah, you're also going to have meat. Moshe is very... for lack of a better term, militant about, like, you're going to have me, and you're going to see
the... And you're going to like it.
And you're complaining about us, and it's going to turn you shouldn't have been complaining about us, because you're going to have me.
Yeah. Right. So on that note, so was Moshe angry about that? So the way we were... Rashi yesterday, in Pasuk Vav, in 6 and 7, so how does that go? Moshe says, Moshe and Aaron say, in the night you're going to know that Hashem took you out of Egypt, and in the morning you're going to see the honor of Hashem when you hear the, who heard your complaints, and you're going to have mud. So the way you read, the way Rashi reads it is, why do you only see the kavod of Hashem in the morning? Why didn't you see the kavod of Hashem at night, when the slav came? So the Rashi says, well, the slav is a little bit of a punishment. They gave it to him at night. It's not the best time to have it because you don't have time to repair it. You can't marinate the right amount of time. You're going to cook it quickly. You can eat it late at night. It's not good to only eat meat for your full meal. It's not really the covenant of Hashem. In the morning, when the mud falls, that's when you see the honor of Hashem. The slav was kind of almost not really a in a way a punishment, or in a way just like a message. But the mud is really the covenant of Hashem. That's the way the Rashi reads those psukim. The what?
The mud.
Where is it coming
from?
The
slav.
They're falling from the heavens.
I mean, the mud is from the heavens.
You mean the birds? Where the birds come from?
They just all of a sudden appear.
The Ramban makes the point that they are. Well, where do all the locusts come from? And where do all the wild animals come from?
They just come from space.
Yeah, so I don't think we. When we learned the Makos, we learned that that's not what happened. They don't just create. They didn't just exist from non-air, that they heard the call, and they all came to Egypt. So the peasants as well, all came. So there is a way of understanding that in a natural context now. It's not natural, that, oh, just it's a mikra, it's a coincidence.
The mud is not natural.
So the Ramban makes that distinction. The Ramban here picks up on that. Why is it that the slav is called, oh, you're going to have slav, and in the morning you're going to be like in awe when this mud comes down. So again, Rashi's pshat is supposed the slav is a punishment is not such a great gift, while the mud is a great gift, and the slav is a way of punishment for the way you asked for it, and the mud is wonderful. The Ramban, however, adds in and says, not really. The Nachum Be'inai, there's the middle of the long Ramban here, pretty long Ramban Pasuk Vav, so about a quarter of the way in, he says, what I think is, that man was like crazy. Because the slav just came in from the ocean, in the wind that comes in, which is like happens, not necessarily happens to that extent every day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but there's at least a natural explanation for how that could happen. But man is being created in the big bakery that is heaven. That's not natural. In fact, that's on the list of things in Pirkei Avos. A couple of things were created with Bein Hashmashos, that before the end of Friday, when it wasn't light and it wasn't dark during the twilight time, after all the creations were done. So it gives a couple of things that exist miraculously, the idea being that it's not a natural thing, it's an unnatural thing. So on the list is Korach's hole, which I know Jerry Seinfeld would have a problem with, because he doesn't understand donut holes. It's his latest routine. It's like very, you know, I want to buy a donut hole. What kind of snack is a donut hole? The donut hole doesn't exist. It's a hole. Right? So how exactly do you create the Korach hole that he fell into? It's a good question, but that's what he created. Bilam's donkey was created during that period. Any other things created during that period? There's a couple of things on the list that are coming to me right now. Go once, go twice.
There's six or seven.
Okay, so one of them is the Mun. Mun was created at that point. It is a miraculous being. It's a miraculous thing. Velchein Amar HaKasuv, I said for the Ramban. He's on a little bit, he says, V'dah ki yesh b'mun inyan gadol. There's a very deep idea. Ramzuhu Rabusein Masechus Yuma Lechem Avirim Achol Ish, that says this bread from out there was eaten by man, lechem shemalach, which is translated by Rabbi Akiva as lechem shemalachei hasharis ochlin. That is the food that was made for the malachei hasharis. So yes, it is in heaven, and it's heavenly food for the heavenly beings. Now Rabbi Shmuel asks on that and says, wait a second, I thought malachei hasharis don't eat. Right. In fact, Moshe says, I didn't eat and I didn't drink for all those days. And the Gemara learns that because that's the minhag makom. You always follow the minhag of the place that you go to. Moshe shows up, and the minhag is in heaven not to eat. So Moshe doesn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. So what do you mean that they ate? So the Rabbi Kiva explains, V'inyan hazesh amar Rabbi Kiva hu shekiyam malachi asharis beziv hashchina. That the malachim exist or subsist on their relationship, on the glow of the Shekhinah, on the glow of God, of the Divine Presence. So that's what Mun is. Mun is a way, is a transferring of the Divine Presence to this world. It is from the Toldos Haor, from coming from the light, the great light, which is represents the desire of Hashem. So the people that were eating the man were subsisting on the same thing that the angels were subsisting on. And he says there also, and this is the, we didn't see any other references to this yet, and that's why the man could taste like whatever you want it to. Because the nefesh of a person in their thought can relate to God in all different types of ways, and therefore the man can have different flavors depending for how you are relating to Hashem. I want to relate to Hashem through pizza.
It specifically says that it tasted like a cake, fried
hot. Yes, so how do you understand that? That might be the fallback, or that might be what it looked like, or that might be...
No, but it says it tasted like that.
I understand. So where does this idea come from, that it tasted like whatever you wanted?
Right.
So
it seems to be in direct contradiction to the text.
Right. So how do you deal with that? Do you just throw up your hands and say, well, it's wrong?
I have to go with what the Chumash says.
Unless you could reinterpret what the Chumash says. Well, this is a deeper interpretation to it. We didn't get that. The Ramban quotes this here. I didn't find the I don't know where the primary source is for the idea of it tasting like different things. So you gotta go with it. Okay. It does sound like a Medrash. Or maybe the Gemara. I don't know if the Gemara itself mentions it. So you have to look at that Medrash and see if any of the commentators say, hey, wait a second, the Torah itself says what it tastes like. So how do you deal with that? So I think that question others have dealt with, I think. Yes.
But isn't he happy that they go out and pick the man once a day?
Yeah.
In the morning it would taste like bread, in the evening it would taste like meat?
No. The evening was actual meat. Those were real birds.
So they didn't just eat mun during the...
In the beginning, they did.
So, yeah, so how long the slav lasted for is unclear at this point.
Wasn't it mun first, and then they complained that...
Yeah, especially because there's the complaining about meat later on. Well, but that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk here says that they got slav and they got mun. So
at the same time?
That's what it says here. In
one
Shalom,
morning,
yeah.
One evening, so same time period, but different. And that was my question also, because we never seem to learn that the slav came every night. We always knew the mun came every night.
Yeah.
Like a one-time thing with the pasuk.
I hear. The pasuk says it here. So how does that go with what goes on in Parshas Baaloscha?
Well, complaining about meat, if they
haven't
even gotten the
mun yet. Right, maybe they had it. Maybe it stopped. Maybe that's a repetition. Maybe that's going back in order. I hear the question. I don't have an answer for it yet. That's what I'm taking off in the next few days. So. Maybe someone else wants to sub and come up with an answer to that question. So the Sforno on this issue also picks up on something here. He says, Arev v'yedatem. So, again, Rashi read it as bad, as in the evening you'll see it as like a bad thing. So the Sforno reads it actually as a good thing. Here it's on Shemesh, Amar li she'etin lachem mazon yeh ba'ofen zeh she'yitin lachem be'erev tzarchi erev. Sforno says, no, this was a good thing. At night, you'll get what you need at the right time, what you need at night. So that you'll know that Hashem took you completely out of Egypt. How do you know by getting slav at night that Hashem took you completely out of Egypt? Because you're leaving the minhagim of Egypt. What were those? You said yourself that when you were in Egypt, you were always by the pot of meat. What does that mean? You were fed not when you wanted to eat. You were fed when they wanted you to eat. They were fed whenever they were willing to give you food. So now you're actually like a mensch. You'll have dinner at night with slav, and it's going to be good. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma, that at the beginning the Jews were like chickens that used to just peck at the garbage, but whatever they could get whenever they could get it. And Moshe came and established for them times for their meals. Now, I'm not sure, I didn't look up the Gemara. I'm not sure if that's referring to in Mitzrayim or not in Mitzrayim. It might be even in Mitzrayim. But anyways, the point that the Sforno was making here is that, no, it's not considered it wasn't considered a bad thing to ask for the slav, like Rashi seemed to spell out. The way the Sforno reads it is, at night you're going to get slav and you'll know you left Egypt. How will you know you left Egypt? Because you're getting a good dinner at the right time and you can plan for it. You can plan around it, and you can make sure that you know you have your ice cream beforehand, so that you're not stuck after having fleishiks not being able to have ice cream. Now you'll be able to plan around it, and the next morning you'll see the kavod Hashem by the mun falling down. How is that the kavod Hashem? So says the Sforno, v'chein yehi ratzon shetiru es kavod Hashem sheyavo lahagvil hazmanim mantedu shetulonoseichem heim alav v'hu yehanira lasir me'alav. That you'll recognize that it's all based surrounding Hashem. That you got in the morning, you'll be able to pattern your day around Hashem's creation. At night you got your slav, in the morning you got your mun. That's the Sforno's pshat here. So, right, a big change. Rashi keeps reading it as a bad thing that they ask for slav, and Hashem kind of like giving to them in a not nice manner. Sforno is reading it the opposite, saying, no, that was good. That was nice. That was nice that they got their slav that way. Okay, to move along a little bit, much later on in the parak. So, take a look at Pasuk Chaf. We go to 20. So, so Pasuk says, "V'lo shamu al Moshe v'yusira anshim imenu adboka v'yarem t'loim v'yivash." That the people didn't all listen to Moshe. Some of them took some stuff until the morning, and the worms came on it and it began to rot. So remember, Rashi said, "Oh, the pasuk's out of order, because generally things rot and then the worms come." So what is the pasuk saying that the worms came and then it rotted? That's not the way it's supposed to work. So the Ravan says, who cares if that's supposed to? That's not the way it's supposed to work. This is mun we're talking about. This isn't a regular piece of meat that starts going bad and then bugs show up. This is mun, right? Ilu haya mun matliya b'derech hateva k'derech shara matliyim. So he says that if mun would decay in the regular way, like everything else that decays, he'd be right. Aval zeshet liam derech neis yitachin sharim tolim techila ve'in tzorach shenafu chamikra. Says, but if man is miraculous, so it could be the whole thing is miraculous, and it's not a kasha that the worms showed up before it began to rot. Yeah. Okay, that was a nice Rabban edition. And we have one more issue that the Or HaChaim brings up. The Or HaChaim says, Pasuk Chaf Beis, we ran into this problem. It was on Friday, and they gathered the Lechem Mishnah Shnei Omer Le'echar Ve'evol Kol Nesi Eidah Ve'egidu LeMoshe. And they told Moshe that we all sudden got double, and Moshe says, oh yeah, right, there's this thing I forgot to tell you, this thing called Shabbos. Thanks for reminding me. Shabbos is coming, and someone's got to check the Erev, and there might be a string down, and we're going to call Rabbi Shmuel, right? That's what happens on Fridays. What's going to be? So Or HaChaim says, what? He says, first of all, it doesn't sound, you know, too nice. I want Moshe, you know, when are they going to put up their chilant? If they're going to put up their chilant too late, they're not going to be able to eat Friday night. It's only going to be Shabbat. It's not good. And besides that, there's a Mefarish Gemara that a Navi who HaKovesh Nevuasel, a Navi who conquers his prophecy, keeps his prophecy a secret and doesn't spread it, bad things happen to that Navi. So what was Moshe thinking that he had this prophecy and he didn't tell the Jews? How'd that happen? So the Or HaChaim says, well, if you look carefully, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, that the word Lemor is telling you that Moshe is supposed to share it with others. Now, there's a difficulty with saying that, is because half the times when it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, the next pasuk says that Beral B'nai Yisrael Lemor tell him. It's instructions to tell the people. So what is that? But Hashem is saying it's only when he says Lemor that there's an obligation to tell the people. And here it's Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Pasuk Dalav was just Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. So Hashem is telling Moshe these things, and in fact, Moshe was not supposed to tell the people that was. The thing was, it's actually a different Gemara in Yuma where it says that there are things that Moshe was told that he wasn't supposed to tell the people. So how did he know that this was the exception to the rule? So says the Or HaChaim, Moshe figured it out. How did he figure it out? Moshe figured out. If Hashem had told Moshe about the stuff about the man, and Hashem didn't give Moshe the instructions to tell the people, well, why wouldn't Hashem give instructions to tell the people? This is Shabbos we're talking about. So Moshe thought, aha, Hashem wants to make the revelation of Shabbos more dramatic. How is it going to make it more dramatic? Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everybody's going to collect what they collect and come home, and they're going to have an omer per person. And all of a sudden, by Friday, they're assuming that, oh, I'm just going to take that because that's what I'm going to have anyways. And on Sad Friday, we bring it home, and all of a sudden, it's double. So Moshe said, aha, Hashem was planning this dramatic revelation. That's impressive to the people. It wasn't just Moshe telling them, oh, by the way, we're going to have a couple days this week and collect money every day, and then the seventh day is going to be this Sabbath thing. What's the Sabbath thing? Oh, the Sabbath day is when you're going to be home and you're not going to be able to do anything, and you're not going to leave your house, etc. So that's not very exciting. But if you announce Shabbos by assuming that you're going to have X amount of money, and instead you have 2X amount of money, that's pretty cool. So then they come to Moshe and say, Moshe, what's going on here? Why all of a sudden do we have double? To which Moshe responds, ah, now it's time to tell you about Shabbos. Now that you're pretty impressed, now that you realize that Hashem is taking care of you, now it's time to tell you about Shabbos. Now, I realize that message is somewhat, shalom, is somewhat against what we spoke about earlier. Remember, the way the Rabban, really Or HaChaim, quoted as well, is that the mud is the test. Are you going to have emunah about the next day? Right? Are you going to have beliefs that the next day the money is going to come? And are you going to have enough emunah to rely on the Torah that even though we're keeping the mitzvahs, Hashem is going to take care of me? So here, in a way, it's the opposite. Now that you see Hashem is taking care of you, so now we'll tell you, oh, by the way, the reason Hashem gave you this extra amount on Friday is because you have this Shabbos thing coming up, and therefore there was the dramatic revelation of Shabbos. So sometimes, maybe just some mitzvahs work in different ways. Some mitzvahs are, do you have the emunah to earn being given this mitzvah? Sometimes, if you demonstrate the emunah, so Hashem turns and says, ah, now that I see that you have the emunah, so now I'll give you a certain mitzvah. So, anyways, that's a take on the two different deliveries over the course of this parsha. Thanks for coming. We're done now. Yeah. Have a good day.